Ralph and I agree, as does every Republican in Congress, House and Senate. Work requirements is a no-brainer. It's like a 90% issue on polling. Able-bodied adults who can work should work. It's
so
good
why
for
delay it?
Their own purpose and dignity. Well, as I said, some of the states have, it takes them some time, we've learned in this process, to change their systems and to make sure that these stringent requirements that we will put on that to eliminate fraud, waste, and abuse can actually be implemented. So we're working with them to make sure what the earliest possible date is to put into law something that will actually be useful.
Okay, so this is Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, who was talking with, I think it was Shannon Bream on Fox News Sunday yesterday, about the budget discussions that are going on in Congress right now. It's a huge conversation piece. Of course, President Trump is pushing for his big, beautiful bill, as he calls it. No stranger to favorable namings of things. Joining us now, we have Congressman Jimmy Petronis. Jimmy, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So this, the conservatives on the committee, like Chip Roy, had opposed this because it delays implementation of the work requirements for Medicaid. The speaker says the states can only do work so fast. This is what we got. They voted that out of committee yesterday because I guess the conservatives sort of stood down and voted present. But where are we going with this? This has been the conversation in Congress for a while now. Can you kind of lay out where we are and where we're going with this?
Sure. Look, the average citizen doesn't know the difference between Medicaid or Medicare.
Fair.
Okay. And so Medicaid was a provision to provide a safety net for our most vulnerable, our seniors, our children, our elderly, those that are disabled, females. So what you had is you had the big fight during Obamacare, and you had expanded Medicaid to all. So the criticism is there's able-bodied men in their 20s sitting on a couch somewhere playing Xbox that are getting free health care, okay? And so a conservative like myself said, you know what, by gosh, if you're going to get free health care, there should be a work requirement that you're at least attempting going out, securing work if you're going to have eligibility to that benefit.
So, just like so we do for unemployment. You don't get unemployment unless you try.
Exactly. So not trying to reinvent the wheel, but if you're going to take advantage of taxpayer dollars, you got folks out there that are they're killing themselves working two jobs in order to maintain a household and purchase their health insurance. This is individuals that aren't working that are getting it. So we're saying we're going to make a work requirement. So I mean, it's estimated, I think, over 5 years, it's over $100 billion in savings. So the initial version of the language came out and said, okay, we will implement this starting in 2029. Well, myself and a bunch of others, we lost our minds. And we said, no, we got to start this sooner. And so this is probably one of the biggest nuggets out of it. It's probably not going to create the type of savings that is going to be transformational, but it's the right way to change the culture as we approach how we respect our taxpayer dollars being used.
And so part of the,
right now, the
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Has gone from 2029 to 2026.
Oh,
and so that's,
okay.
So that's a pretty significant move. But I would not be surprised if that still is not on the table. Where the speaker was coming from is, look, different states are going to have a lot of fun trying to implement this new work requirement. And my attitude is, you know what? I understand, Mr. Speaker, but that's not a problem. That's the states. They're the ones benefiting from taxpayer dollars from the state of Florida.
And that's the challenge is you have, you know, some states, blue states more likely, have done things that have put themselves in a position of being able to say, oh, this is too hard for us to implement. and they're getting all this extra money, whereas the red states who have been more responsible are the ones who are like, yeah, we can do this. You know, when do you want it? Yesterday? So why would we cater to the states that have been, you know, making the system worse, bloating the system, when they're the ones who say we can't act on this, right?
Yeah, and look, it is what it is. These dollars, whether you claim they do or they don't, they become fungible. Once the federal government sends these dollars out, you know, we're not auditing every single dollar that leaves the federal government that goes to the state of Florida. You would think in the case of the state of Florida, they would be a good steward of the dollars. And in most cases, really, they are. But what you've got is other states that are upside down financially, like a California, like a New Jersey, like a New York, that, I mean, they'll take every federal dollar that they can, and then, you know, you really don't know what happens when it goes into their black holes. But But this particular issue, where it really hits home to Florida, is Florida is a donor state. So we are literally paying taxes to provide health care insurance to able-bodied men who are sitting on a couch. And all we're saying is, you know what, if we're going to be a donor state, then by gosh, our dollar is going to be more responsible.
You know, one of the other issues that has been a hiccup or a wrench in the works, you and I talked about this last week, was the state and local tax exemption, especially for New York Republicans. Jimmy, has the SALT exemption, has that been solved? Because, I find this so offensive that somebody who makes, $1 million a year, $500,000 a year in New York pays less federal taxes than somebody who lives in Pensacola just because they have allowed their state and local taxes to balloon out of control, and they can take that as a deduction against their income. It offends me. And yet, that's a live or die thing for the Republicans in New York, right?
It is. I mean, we've got, five Republicans up there. They walk around with little salt pins on their lapel, and this is their issue. But, it's like I was talking to Senator Scott about this exact same issue yesterday. And he says, I got a solution for those New Yorkers. Just move to Florida. So we don't have a state income tax here, so there's no deductible to worry about. And I think that's really one of the reasons why we've had a migration to this state. People just really want to keep their money. So where the deduction currently right now is at $10,000, you can deduct $10,000 of your state income tax off of your federal income tax. Right now they're fighting for $40,000 per individual. Just a few months ago, they were happy with $20,000. So they're getting way out there on this because they know that they have got more votes in hand that can stop the bill.
Yeah.
So there's going to be some type of an impasse there at the end of the day. And this is what the senator and I were talking about, as infuriated as I get about SALT, the Medicaid impact part is a much bigger financial piece to both the state of Florida and our kids. So, I mean, I've been kind of more laser focused on making sure that Medicaid is managed in a way where it's not seeing double digit increases every single year. It's just out of control.
No, I agree. I agree with that. It's just, for me, it's more of a, but you're Republicans,
and yet
you're acting like parochial local politicians, because nobody has bothered to tell your people that they're doing it wrong, and you're doing the principled wrong thing for selfish political reasons, which I understand, but I don't agree with. And that's, that's the thing that's so frustrating about it.
I'm with you 100%.
One of the other elements of this bill, as I understand it, is it's going to reorient how energy works, and it's going to take away the benefits and the subsidies that go to green energy. Which I understand that's, President Trump's like one of his big pushes. The concern, I know Forbes had a big article about this, but the concern is that this is going to hamper the ability of, wind or solar or, other non-petroleum based or carbon based energy to really grow and develop in the country, which is going to be a problem for us in sourcing energy, if that's the case. Have you looked at that issue much and thought about the green energy future and what that's going to do to the economy? I know this is a part of the bill. It's just kind of an interesting one.
Yeah, so the significant tax credits were made available to those utilities that wanted to embrace renewable energy,
right?
Wind, solar, you name it. So right now, it's been as far as get rid of them all together. The challenge you get with getting rid of them all together is you've got existing projects that are underway that all of a sudden now you've basically blown up their investment. So this is where they've kind of moved to the middle. I think now they've said that they will go away in 6 years. I wouldn't be surprised if that number doesn't shrink and it gets to a smaller amount than 6 years. When you give somebody 6 years, you're basically saying, all right, you got the incentive to start the project today and take advantage of those credits. But tax credits, you got to realize that that's still taxpayers' money.
Right.
We are basically not collecting. So it's a revenue concern, and it's also a policy concern, and especially as you've seen President Trump try to unleash, as many forms of energy humanly possible. And this is why you've seen, the price of oil do what it's done over his administration.
Are you seeing or hearing anything about nuclear in this conversation? Because I continue to be baffled about why it's so hard to build nuclear plants. I mean, we've been running our carriers on nuclear for 50 years. I don't get why we are so reluctant to embrace safe nuclear.
Yeah, so I did a term on the Public Service Commission. If you wanted to start nuclear today, you're talking about nearly a 20-year process.
Good Lord.
Okay, and you think about it, you're starting it today, 20-year process, and you're starting on the technology that exists this moment. Okay, so nuclear is more of a two-episode show, but what you do have is there's a real interest to try to embrace small-scale nuclear.
Yeah.
Okay, and here I'll just leave it. This is probably where it hits home. Right now, a nuclear plant, say you go up to Farley up in Dothan, it's got to have a 120, 125 member police force that's got to be the equivalent of military police, okay, wrapped around that installation. And you think about the human cost of what it is to do that.
Yeah.
So now the pivot has been, well, why don't we put small-scale nuclear on our military bases? So now you're already taking advantage of a police force that's there, whether you want it there or not. It's going to stay on that base. And then you bring a small-scale nuclear on site. It's quicker and easier and cheaper to deploy. So that's kind of one of the pathways they see to bring nuclear online without having such a cost of human labor every single day, 24/7, protecting, securing, and monitoring it. At the same time, that nuclear would service the base, and then excess energy provided would go back on the grid.
Oh, I'd never heard. That's a really interesting idea, especially because, at least in the case of the Navy,
yeah.
You know, we already know how to do this. We can just, you know, do it on land instead
right.
of doing
that's
it on
right.
an aircraft carrier. Hey, last thing, we're talking to Congressman Jim Patronis. Cool little note. I think Mike Kohler let cat out of bag just a little bit early on this, but he had mentioned in the county commission meeting that Joe Patties is going to get a nationwide recognition designation by you on the floor, and I think it's this week you're doing it. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm not sure my calendar off the top of my head.
Okay.
But yeah, Mike Kohler can't keep a secret to save his life. So I love Mike,
right?
But actually, you know, Mike was the one who brought this idea up to us. As we were the small business chairmanship is Chairman Williams out of Texas. Great guy. He's a former baseball coach, car dealer, but he loves small businesses. I love being on that committee, and so he challenged each one of us: go find a business in your district you want to honor. And so, yeah, we're gonna honor the Patty family and their contribution to Northwest Florida, what they've been doing with Joe Patty Seafood. And I just get chills telling you about it because it's such an iconic destination. If you try to create it tomorrow, you couldn't. Only reason why it exists because of blood, sweat, and tears and family commitment and a community commitment. And that's the type of businesses that we should be showcasing, where they're not asking anything from the government except less of it. And I'm so proud to be able to honor them.
Yeah,
this
no,
week, I, this week, which I think it's this
that's
week.
That's awesome.
This week, we're moving next week.
I love it. And you know, and I know everybody knows about Joe Patty and the seafood, but you know, the Patty Shipbuilding, it was such a huge part of, you know, local business and everything. And just, you know, like you said, it's a great company, and we're really, yeah, I'm excited. It's really a neat thing for you to be able to honor them. Congressman Jimmy Patronis, as always, thank you so much for the time, sir. We look forward to talking to you again next week.
Yeah, I had a guy that reached out to me on social media. And look, I'm telling you, folks, I respond to my own DMs and everything on X. When you reach out to me, the response has come from me. It's not coming from some staffer. It's not coming from my kids or my wife. So just let you know, whenever you need me, you can just find me on X. It's the easiest way to find it, at Jimmy Patronis. Or you can follow me at Patronis FL. God bless. Thanks for having me.
Outstanding. Thanks so much, Congressman.